Lord, I pray you'd calm our spirits this morning. I pray you'd show us more of you this morning. I pray you'd pull back the veil a little bit more and show us of your great love, your mighty power to save, the peace that surpasses understanding, the power in weak vessels like myself to speak about things that no man should speak about, Lord, that are too great, too mighty, too wonderful. Lord, but you created the tongue, you make the mute speak. You open the eyes of the blind. We're your people this morning. You're our God. And I ask for help, Lord. Ask for strength. Ask for power for Craig down in Laredo. Ask for power for Tim and Ruby over there in Manchester. Ask for power, Lord, this morning here in our meeting, that you would walk among us and teach us. Father, ask in Christ's name, Lord, be glorified. Glorify your name. Help me this morning. Speak clearly. Speak accurately. May the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, glorifying to you. I do thank you for these brethren. I thank you for their walk, their testimony, their endurance, their love. There's pictures of Christ before me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brethren, I have been fighting many fears lately. So I want to speak to you all about the Christian facing fear. And so 2 Timothy 1:6 through 7, that's going to be our passage. You can turn there. Second Timothy chapter 1:6-7. It says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame, Timothy, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So, brethren, I want to go through this verse, first of all, talking about fear, the reality of fear. And almost goes without saying, but I think it's helpful just to remind ourselves of some of the fears that we face. There is fear, and then the rest of the verse, these are my points: the power, the love, and the self-control. And so, first of all, as we look at each other, we're all different people, are we not? We're all different. We all face different fears. David faces different fears than Della. We all face fears of maybe spiders, the nighttime, darkness, heights, tight spaces. There was, I remember in school, there was this guy that was terrified of his claustrophobic, tight spaces. And we had this training where you had to go through and you get all tangled up in wires. And he got so tangled up to where he started to like yell out and say, "I gotta get out of here." I mean, that's the fear that we face. We're weak people and we face so many fears and we get panic stricken and paralyzed and we cry out to get out of it. My sister-in-law, she's scared of heights, terribly scared of heights. And after the Lord saved her, she's still afraid of heights. She still has to face that. The Lord saves us, and we're still ourselves. Like, we're still us. We still have our own unique fears. And at work, there's been much talk on the news. We all know it. The virus in China. You know, the fear, the panic that's going on with this. Am I going to get sick and die? What about my dear family? What about going and being a missionary in China, in Nepal, in all these places? Am I going to die? What about this virus? We face so many fears. So what's the origin of fear? Has there always been fear? We know, and you're probably thinking back to the garden where fear began. Adam and Eve, they tried to exercise their own will, and God came in the garden when they had sinned, and man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden, and they hid themselves. Why did they hide themselves? Because they feared. They had sinned against God and they had feared. Before that, it was peace, it was joy, it was love. And they had sinned, and here came this fear. Sin has made the world the way it is. Insecurity, uncertainty, wars, viruses, death, sickness, old age, calamity, loss. It's all a result of sin. We know this, brethren. And it's produces such fear. Fear that some people can't even walk out the door. They're stuck there. They're paralyzed. They're in the garden. We tried to take things on ourselves. We tried to be our own manager, our own God. And that what came from that was just fear. Fear. And now we have to overcome that fear by what? Drugs, drink, sports, entertainment. That's the lost. That's the lost. We see that. I have a coworker, and this is so sad, brethren, but I felt it just gives such a perfect picture of where the lost is at. I have a coworker, and because of a certain health issue, he can't drink. He can't have any alcohol. And the guys, they joke around like, man, if I couldn't drink, I'd put a gun to my head. I know that's sad, but brethren, that's the lost. That's how hopeless we once were. That's how hopeless we were. The fear can be so gripping, such a reality. It's like, I gotta have something. I gotta have something to escape this fear. That's the world before us. And that's where we came from. We're no longer gripped by that fear. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be video games. Shut yourself in a basement, play video games all day to get away, to escape the brevity, the eternity, the catastrophe of life. Maybe it's even coming to church. If I come to church, it'll make me feel better, and I can escape some fear for a little while. Maybe when I get to the end, maybe it'll be enough. Maybe I've done enough. Maybe I've done enough good works. So as a Christian, yes, we face all these fears, but even more so, we face being faced with persecution, standing up for righteousness, pain and suffering, being persecuted for Christ. Talking about just facing so many fears. Scanning through the Old Testament, we see Abraham. He lied. He lied about his wife. He said, she's my sister. He said, I feared God. There was no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. That's what he said. Isaac, he did the same thing. He said, I'm going to call her my sister because they'll kill me otherwise because of my wife. Moses, he was overcome by fear, even though the Lord, he gave him many signs. I'll be with you, Moses. Go and bring Israel out of the land. Bring Israel out of Egypt. But he said, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. And he said, I made the tongue. The Lord told him, I made the tongue. I made the mute talk. And still he said, Lord, get someone else. Get someone else, Lord. And the Lord was angry with him. I mean, that's what fear is. That's what we're facing today is fearing. And God, yes, God was kind and he gave him Aaron to speak for him. We have the fear of failure. When we become a Christian, we see how wonderful Christ is. He's so good. We see him in the Gospels. We love him. And we can fear failing him, disappointing him, letting him down. So what does it do? I mean, we have the parable of the talents. He had his one talent, but he hid it. He said, I feared failing you, and so I did nothing. And if we face that, Lord, keep us from that. Gideon, how many men did he end up with? Just 300. The rest full of fear, and God said, send them back. They're afraid. Send them back. Jacob, with Esau, he thought he was going to die. Yet the Lord told him, go, return to your land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. Many of these, it's the fear of man. It's a great one. The Lord tells us, don't fear man, though. Fear God, who can put body and soul in hell. We fear our children, those who have children. We fear losing them. We fear them dying and not knowing the Lord. And all these mothers, they go in that back room and they pray for their children because they have a good and right fear for their souls, but they don't want to be gripped by it. They don't want to be overtaken by that fear. They want to press on. They want to submit them to the Lord. That's a good, healthy fear. The fear for our children, for their souls, them dying and not knowing Christ. Even Peter. Peter didn't just deny the Lord, but he denied the Lord to even a little servant girl. That's how big of an impact fear can have. Even at Pentecost, later on, when Peter's a completely different man, I mean, he went from denying the Lord to a servant girl to proclaiming Christ to many after Pentecost. But even there, Peter faced the fear of the circumcision party. It says he drew back because of the circumcision party. He feared man. Joseph of Arimathea says he was a secret disciple because he feared. But later he rose up and he took the care of the body of Jesus. So this is just a small taste of some of the fears that we do face. Even Paul, he says, we think of the mighty apostle Paul. I don't know how he looked exactly, but this is what he says. In weakness and in fear and much trembling. But we are afflicted in every turn, fighting without and fear within. What about overcoming sin? Well, am I going to make it? Am I going to overcome these big Goliath sins that I face every day? I see David fell. David was a man after God's own heart. Am I going to overcome sin? I love one guy brought out how great the repentance of David was. We think, oh, his great sin, but look at his great repentance. He didn't fall headlong. The Lord kept him. He overcame that sin. He endured. We're facing greater fears than ever before. We don't know what the future holds. Like Tim said, he's kind of excited about this chapter in our lives with this virus coming to see what God's going to do and how we're going to shine through this. We can face it with such hope, such faith, such courage. Consider Jesus, brethren, to the trouble, the inward commotion, the sin, all of our sin coming down upon Him, taking away the calmness of His mind, disturbing Him, trying to strike His spirit with fear and dread, the anxious thoughts, the distresses, the perplexities, all of it came down. He was tempted to fear, the loneliness, being forsaken by His Father. Nevertheless, God was with him, and he overcame, he conquered fear and death. And so in our text, the context here is Paul is telling Timothy, he's suffering, he's leaving soon, and he says, pull yourself together, Timothy, remember that God, what God has done for you. And he's saying, Timothy, do you really think that the world loved what I was saying? Didn't the Lord say that they will hate us because they've hated me? And so he's telling them, remember, remind yourself that you've been given not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, self-control. So that's my first point, brethren. And I know you feel this. I know you face this every day. The unique fears that you face. So, I'm thankful that we have three additional points here. And that is, there's power and love and self-control. So, power first. It was this consolation that Moses gave Joshua when he's leaving. He's telling him, Joshua, don't fear them. Be strong, be courageous. Deuteronomy 31. Be strong, be courageous. Don't fear them. I'm with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Don't fear them. Don't dread them. So the reality is He's with us. He's split the Red Sea. The God who split the Red Sea is with us. He's given us power. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every aspect about us. He's created, instantly He created everything out of nothing. And He said, I'm with you to the end of the age. This God who once was our enemy, now He's brought us near. And now we're kept by the power of God. We're protected by His power. We've given power to endure, power He set us free. It takes power to come in and set people free. Like the Lord says, there's a strong man. And it takes someone more powerful, more strong to come in and set that person free. And God has done that. God set us free. We've been given power, brethren. Power this morning. When you woke up this morning as a Christian, you had power. You have power to overcome. Overcome the enemy, overcome sin, overcome fear, overcome doubt. Romans 8, Paul talks about the Spirit that is in you, the Spirit that cries, Abba, Father, the Spirit of adoption by which we can cry, Abba, Father. And I want to share two stories about my dad that I think apply here. When I was 8 years old or thereabouts, I really wanted one of those water guns, one of the real big water guns. And I kind of went with some fear and trembling to ask for this from Dad. And like to my amazement, not only did he give it to me, but he said, every boy needs one of those. And I know maybe it's kind of light, but and that's our Father. It's like, not only does he give us that, but it's like, yes, I'll give you that. I love to give you the kingdom. It's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is the spirit. This is the power that we've been given, not fear, not a spirit of slavery, which leads to fear, but of power, knowing that our Father loves us. He cares for us, and we can go to him and ask him, and we don't have to fear. So the second story is, you know, I grew up on a farm, and so I was in control of these different fields of produce and stuff. And I let this one field, like, just tons of weeds. And when my dad came to me, praise God, I repented of just pure laziness. And I asked for a second chance, and he said, Evan, you can have 1,000 second chances. I mean, again, it's just a small little sliver of who our Father is, his love. It's not, we're not walking along fearing, failing, doubts. It's not as a slave, it's as a son, a daughter. He loves you, and he's not waiting for you to mess up so he can discipline you. Is there any parent here that loves to discipline their children? No, there's not. We love our children. Yes, we discipline them because we love them, but it's not a thing of like, oh, you messed up and now I'm going to get you. That's not it at all. We love our children. And it's the same with our Father. This power that's been given to us, this love that's within us. Psalms 46, 1 through 3. I was talking with Stephen about this verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. It can feel like that. Maybe it feels like that now for you. And we don't have to fear. He's a present help in trouble. You know, in school, what they ask, who's here? Who's present? And they call your name. You say, I'm here, present. That's God. He's presently with us. He's near us. He's in our midst. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. When you awoke this morning, he's still with you. He's never left you. The Christian life, when you wake up, do you approach the life like that? You wake up and it's like, God's with me. Power, courage, strength. Not, am I going to make it? Oh, I'm going to fail today. But power. We've been given power, brethren. I'm here to remind you, we've been given power to overcome sin. He's our great high priest in the heavens who will never forsake us. He's praying for you right now. He's praying for you that your faith would not fail. We don't have to be terrified or afraid, no matter how big those thems are, those thems that they face back in when they're taking the land, all those enemies, and your thems are going to be greater than someone else's. We all have thems, and no matter what they are, God uniquely comes beside you and empowers you to face every fear that you're possibly ever going to face in your life. He's your strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they're safe. My main point is that the Christian life is full of power. And we're different. You're not ordinary people. You have power within you. You have the Spirit of Christ within you, empowering you to be more than overcomers. That name of the Lord, a strong tower, that's the great name of our God on our side. When we think about someone, we think of their name. And that name signifies their nature, their character, their strength. Can I trust this person? And from the beginning of time, brethren, people have been calling on the name of the Lord, and they've been finding him trustworthy. He is trustworthy. No Christian has ever made it to the end and felt like, man, that was a bummer. Why did I make all that sacrifice for the Lord? No way. I remember when particularly difficult times, And I was faced with these, with just fears coming in, just bombarding me. And I looked up in Cherry and I's living room, and there were all those books, John G. Payton, John Newton, Conrad Murrell, Mueller, all those guys. And I felt like they were all crying out to me saying, "Believe him, Evan. It's worth it. It's going to be worth it. We're going to make it to the end. He can be trusted." And I love this hymn. It says, "Finding, following, keeping, struggling, is he sure to bless?" Then that's the question we face today and every day. Is he sure to bless? Will he bless? And it says, "Saints, apostles, prophets, martyrs, they answer yes. He's sure to bless, brethren. He's with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Though all forsake, we'll never lose our God." There was this family growing up that was super athletic, and we played lots of football, basketball growing up, and you always wanted them on your side because you knew if they were on my side, I was going to win. Even one of them was like, "Hey, well, we got a Hargrave on our side, so we're good." But how much more, brethren, we're so prone to think about human strength and to forget that God is on our side. God's on our side. Think about World War II. 1941, Japan, they hit Pearl Harbor, and that admiral, that Japanese admiral, he said, "I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve." Isn't that God? He's somewhere it said, I didn't look it up, but he's a mighty warrior that has roused himself, and he's resolved to save you. He's resolved to save each and every one of you, brethren, and he's not going to give up until it's done. He's not going to save part of you. He's to will and to work for his good pleasure, and he'll complete the work that he begun. And he's not going to let you wallow around in some fear. He's going to save you from that. He's going to sanctify you. He's with you, brethren. There's nothing greater that we can have in knowing that God's with us. I mean, don't you think Britain, when they found out, "Oh, the U.S. is going to be on our side," what a great comfort that was. We maybe have a chance of winning here, but God is on our side, brethren. We have more than a chance of winning. Psalms 139, "He knows our going out and our coming in, our thoughts from afar. He knows all. He works all for our good." On Wesley's tombstone, you know what the words that he wanted? "Best of all, God is with us. Heaven and earth can pass away. Sickness can take our loved ones. All forsake us, we'll never lose our God. We'll never lose him. Girls, you'll never lose him. He's with you whenever you go out. He knows you're going out and you're coming in. Justin, he knows you're going out and you're coming in. He's going to be with you and your family. He won't forsake you." And so I would encourage you, is he with you? Those who don't know, those who maybe haven't surrendered their life to Christ, is he with you? Is he in you? Is he for you and not against you? Do you know him? Does he know you? You don't want to face these fears without him. You don't want to go through life without Christ at your side, knowing he's with you every step of the way. More than that, you don't want to end up on that day of judgment and he's never been with you and he'll depart from you altogether. For that's what hell is, away from the presence of the Lord. Oh, if you're not hidden in Christ, go to Christ this morning. You've got to have him. You've got to have him on your side. Cry out to him. I love that verse. "The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds." So how does it guard our hearts and minds? Well, we know vertically, the Lord has declared us righteous. We're righteous before God. Horizontally, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "The Lord of peace himself gives you peace at all times in every way." Peace at all times in every way. That's what God gives us. He's our friend. He's our redeemer, our shield, our protector, our provider. We're written on the palms of his hands. We're the apple of his eye. He's on our side. We can face the power of death. So many martyrs have gone before with such joy upon their faces. That's the power that we're talking about. The Father, he rules this world. This is our Father's world, and he's working out everything perfectly. He's not afraid. He's not surprised. We talked about that yesterday at Jeff's study. He's not afraid. He doesn't get surprised by anything. The Christian, you Christian, you're indestructible, invincible in the will of God. Nothing can overtake you that God has not ordained. And when your time comes, it comes. But before then, you're indestructible, invincible. And you trust Him. You remain in His will. You wake up and you, Lord, I want to be pleasing to You. I want to be in Your will. I want to walk with You. And that's all. And you know God's with you. You know He'll protect you and He'll keep you. He'll be enough. The peace of God, it goes beyond every way we can possibly think or produce. Isn't that the way fear and anxiety does? It produces all of, like, you think, how can I get out of this? You prevent it. How can I prevent this terrible thing from happening? But when you pray and you roll it off and you commit it to the Lord, then there's peace. Oh, the thoughts, it just goes on and on. You can think your way and it paralyzes you, and you have to stop and pray and cast it upon the Lord. I'm not talking about positive thinking here. That's not what Paul was telling Timothy. He said, God's given you something, Timothy. God's given you power. It's supernatural. You don't have to worry about trying to fix it. How do I figure this out for this financial problem with my children, with sickness, with marriage problem? God knows He can change everything and work it all for our good. You're not ordinary, brethren. It's only to the Christian, though. It's only to those who have given their life to Christ to serve and to love Him, and they can commit all their fears to Him. And they can say, yes, that's a fear, but nevertheless, I will not allow myself to forget that God's with me. And look at Peter. Like I said earlier, he's a different man after Pentecost. He's boldly proclaiming Christ. And before he denied the Lord, now he's boldly proclaiming. And so that's my first point, brethren, is just the power that God has given us. And so love and self-control. These go together somewhat, and so I'm going to talk about kind of both of them together. But why love? Why love? Is that something that you would have put? Is that something that you would think of right away? I don't think I would have. But we can understand power. We need power to overcome these fears and everything. But love? Well, what causes fear? What causes fear? Ask that question. Is it not self? Is it not self-concern, self-love, self-protection? It's just thinking about yourself. Oh, at work, it's the retirement. It's work. People go to work because they fear, if I don't make enough money, I'm getting older and I gotta have retirement. That's the fears, the fear of getting sick. It's all about yourself, brethren, and we know the answer to that. We know the only solution is to be absorbed, to be consumed with Christ. A love for Christ, a love for God. And that's what Paul's talking about. And in a different place, he says in Thessalonians, may God direct your heart to the love of Christ, the love of God, love for others. We're seated in heavenly places. This love has been given, loved us and seated us in heavenly places to where now we can look down upon all of our troubles. What can separate us from the love of God? Think on His love. Paul's telling Timothy, think about how much you've been loved, Timothy. Christ, our captain, He's won the victory. He sat down at the right hand of God. It's finished. Be of good cheer, brethren. It's finished. You don't have to work to try and earn your salvation. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans 8, the spirit of slavery. How do I earn my salvation? Law? Do I keep all these things? Do I go to church? You never know if it's enough. But Christ, He did it all. He finished the work. And He sat down at the right hand of God. That's the love that came down and saved us. Christ, our captain, we're His soldiers. He's won the victory. How much more us, the common soldier, we'll have victory ourselves. He's overcome for us. And we go in the power and the strength of His name. He's our captain and He's won it all. All these fears and difficulties, we can be more than conquerors through them. So think much on the love of Christ. That'll really, really help, brethren. Think about how much Christ has loved you. To be full of love, like Stephen. Remember Stephen getting stoned? Who's in fear? It's not Stephen. It's the people stoning Stephen. They're in anger and fear, and they're thinking irrationally, and Stephen's in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Father, forgive them. And he loved his enemies, even to death. And that's what we've been given. We've been given such love for the lost, such love for each other. It's unexplainable, and we can go through things in such peace. So if you remember, the main cause of fear is self. And so the Lord gives us a self-control. He gives us this self-control to not think irrationally, to not be overcome by the fears that come in. And what if you fear decisions? What if I make the wrong decisions? Well, we know the Lord is with us. He won't let us make the wrong decision. And I just read through Luke, and in that gospel, so many times it says, the Lord says, it's necessary. It's necessary to do this. It's necessary to do that. And I had a brother tell me one time that thing, like, what's most necessary? What's needed the most? What's going to help this brother or sister the most? You can make decisions based that way, out of love for others and love for Christ. What's most necessary? What's most needed for the moment? Self-control and just thinking of the fear of missing out. I remember especially as a young person, you young people here, you're going to face that fear. What if I miss out on something in the world? What if I serve Christ, I'm going to miss on all the fun and all that stuff? And God, He changes all of that. When you see Christ, you're not missing out on anything. You can see that you're worth more than the sparrows to Him, and that He's going to give you the kingdom. And if you forsake all, He's going to give it back 100 times more. You won't regret serving the Lord. He's died for you. He's died for you. Is there any sacrifice too great for Him? Fear, yeah, it paralyzes us. I remember I worked for the fire department. We went to this fire, and it was a new driver. He was driving the engine. We got there. He jumped out of the truck, and instead of going over to the pump panel and like pulling the levers to get water to the fire, he opens this compartment. He starts laying out this tarp. He was thinking irrationally. And that just happens with us so many times. Instead of going to Christ and pulling out the lever, going to His Word and just letting Christ dump on you and help you. You go to all these different means. You get the tarp out and you try and think through it and you wrestle with it. And it's just, you don't need to worry about the future, the Lord says. You don't need to let it paralyze you. You can trust Him, and you've got knowledge. He had knowledge, but he got so paralyzed with fear that he didn't apply it. It became such a big thing to him that he didn't, oh yeah, I just need to go over and pull this lever. And so it's the same with us. Like, we know God is good. We have knowledge about Christ, and we just have to apply it. It happened to the disciples. They're on the sea, and the Lord's walking on the sea, and they're afraid, and they get gripped by fear, and he says, don't be afraid. Where's your faith? Have faith. Where's your faith? And they had it, but they just weren't applying it. They weren't exercising it. They weren't putting it into practice. And so self-control, it's similar to discipline. We have to discipline ourselves. And when we face different trials or situations, we handle them well, and we go to His Word, and we think rightly about it, and we let that guide us. The devil knows if we can get our eyes off of Christ, that fear will begin to grip us. So we're not like the lost. We're not terrified by this virus. We're not worried about tomorrow. God's with us. He's with in all these uncertainties. We've been given power and love and self-control. The Christian can face all with courage and strength. If I think of anything about my dad, it'd probably be that. Like waking up every morning with just in general, just a sense of courage and strength and joy about the day. And that's really all that when I look back, that's really just what my dad wanted when he bought that farm for us and we worked on that farm and everything. He just wanted us to enjoy the work. And that, as a Christian, like, if you can just wake up and face life that way of just like, what a joy it is to be a Christian. What courage, what strength we've been given. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, it says. And that will just help in so many ways. And just this feeling of your belly in knots. Like, that's what I'm talking about the fear that grips you. Like, that's the time, brethren, when you need to go to the Lord and just fall before Him and cry out to Him and not leave until you have victory over fear. To not be ashamed, like Paul says in verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony. But he says, Timothy, you're going to have to stir yourself up. It's not going to be automatic. You're going to have to remind yourself, discipline yourself. So, the world, we're not escapists, brethren. We're Christians and we face everything that the Lord's put before us. We don't need all the entertainment and the pleasures and everything that the world needs. The Lord in love puts before us certain things and He gives us the power to face it, no matter what it is. It's based on facts. Paul says, I know my Redeemer lives. So lastly, I want to talk in this area of self-control, just with your words. Brethren, this has been an encouragement to me from Psalm 73. And that is how David said, I will not betray the people of God. I will not speak thus and betray this generation of your children. And so what does he mean? Like, how would he speak? How would that betray the people of God? And when Israel was at the Red Sea, the Egyptians were coming. They said, you've brought us out here to die. Like, that's what we're talking about of just like, no, I'm not going to go there. Like, I know better than that. I'm not going to say that. David, he catches himself and he reminds himself that God is good. He hasn't brought us here for nothing to die. He's good and he does everything for our good. And my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Take your fears to Him. And it's just been so encouraging going through different trials and everything is just to stop yourself and remind yourself before you ever even maybe possibly discourage a brother or sister and be careful about that. That has been so good to me. It's kind of been a rung to stop myself on and catch myself going through difficult things. Just like, be like David. No, I'm not going to betray my brothers and sisters. God's good. I know that for sure. And I'm going to encourage the brethren that way. So pray, take those things before the Lord and ask Him, Lord, you said you did not give us a spirit of fear, but power and love and self-control. Pray to Him, brethren, cast it all upon Him. He's the God of the impossible. No matter how big the sin is, no matter what situation you face, you can go to Him, fall on your knees and pray to Him, and you can get victory. And so many times, coming from prayer meetings here, from my own private time in prayer, just like a feeling of relief. And what a privilege it is to go to Him, brethren, just and have that weight, that burden, just roll off and commit it to Him. We have to every morning get our souls happy in the Lord and read and pray. And then you can say, no matter what happens, if the mountain slipped into the heart of the sea, nevertheless, I'm going to think rightly about this, and I know God is with me, and He can work all things for our good, for those that love Him. He's greater is He who is with us than in the world. The fear of the future, you can face it with faith now. You can face it knowing that He holds the future, that you can trust Him. He holds all things in the palm of His hands. He knows about the future. And so this was an encouragement to me, brethren. I hope it was to you, just a reminder, as Paul was reminding Timothy, don't be ashamed, Timothy. Don't be full of fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear. God's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind to where we can think rightly about these things. We can face every situation more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen. You're dismissed.